On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the final three Summer League games for the Rockets, so definitely stay tuned. All right, and welcome back to another episode of Ride On Will. I'm your first host, Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff at Bias Houston. Over there, we do a lot of the different spaces, Rockets content aggregation, whatever you need as far as the Houston Rockets, Houston sports goes. We got you on that front. Shout out Clutch City Control Room on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, and leave a comment. We really appreciate all the support you guys have been showing us lately. And then last, before I pass on to my co-host, shout out Brado and Will on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure y'all tap in over there. Like I said, y'all been showing some incredible support lately on the podcast, and we really appreciate it. So with that, what's up, Brad?
What's up, man? Of course, I'm your other host, Brad. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BradoNBA for all your favorite stats, highlights, anything Rockets related, I got you covered. And that's all I got for today. So Big E, we have him on the show for today. Really big on Twitter. Love his content. So definitely tap into him, and I'll let him plug his stuff right now. So how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Good to be here, you know, on this podcast. Listen to it every Monday, so it's pretty nice to be here now. Yeah, I mean, you guys can find me on Big E underscore Houston on Twitter. Just all the Rockets propaganda you can think of, pretty much. Just always pushing the agenda as much as I can.
My guy, I appreciate that. So on today's episode, of course, we just had three Summer League games. The Rockets beat the Spurs in a close game. Not a close game, they actually beat the Spurs pretty comfortably. But then they also lost to the Trailblazers. And that last game, sadly, against the Kings. So we're going to be talking about those three games. And then we have a long offseason ahead. We have 2-3 months until the Rockets play again. So that's going to suck. But we're going to be talking about these Summer League games for now. So Big E, you know, as a whole, you know, the Rockets had three games just now, as we discussed. So what were your thoughts on those three games as a whole?
I mean, first thoughts is like the most obvious one, but it's the defense, man. Like, I just can't get over how good we've been on defense. I just feel like we haven't had someone this good on defense, like this team being this good on defense in a while. So I feel like that's going to be exciting. Even though we lost two out of the three games, I saw a lot of defensive intensity, a lot of communications, just the shots weren't falling on offense, which is why we pretty much lost. But, you know, Jabari makes two threes, Tari makes another three, and, you know, that's a different game. So as long as they keep doing what they're doing, we're in a good spot right now.
Well, what were your thoughts on those?
Yeah. So I got a lot of thoughts.
I'll let you ramble off first.
Those three games, I got a lot of thoughts. So, the first one, Jabari didn't have the world's best summer league. I think people expected him to be, at least from the offensive standpoint. Defensively, him and Tari Eason were phenomenal. Like I think he was just as good as we expected him to be defensively. So from that perspective, he was great. Offensively speaking, I think he didn't have the best summer league, but like I wanted to like caution Rockets fans from like reading too deep into that or getting too concerned or, you know, trying to take away from anything other than he just had a bad summer league. Like it was a rough 5-game stretch and against competition that really doesn't even matter. Like to me, it says more about you as a player if you perform well in summer league than if you don't, because there's plenty of guys who don't perform well in summer league who go on to be like some of the best players. I mean, like Trae Young more recently had like a really bad summer league, and he's what, the fourth best point guard in the NBA right now, arguably a lot higher than that. And then like, I remember that same year Trae Young, you know, went off. Like Kevin Knox, I mean, he didn't go off. Kevin Knox went crazy that same summer league. And I mean, he's on the Pistons now, right? Like
he's on the Pistons now. 2-year deal for $6 million.
Yeah.
He fell off the map.
Yeah, he fell and he was a first round pick, I believe.
8th pick overall.
I did not know it was that high.
Yeah, 8th pick. I could be wrong. I'll double check, but off the top of my head, 8th pick. Yeah.
I know he went ahead of Michael Porter Jr. I remember that was somebody who I really thought the Knicks were.
So yeah, so he was the 9th pick, same thing. But yeah,
okay, 9th. Sheesh. But yeah, and so like the 9th pick that year, Kevin Knox, you know, went crazy, and he's on his another team. Probably he may not even get that many minutes. I mean, his career is not looking to be that well. So I wouldn't read too deep into Jabari not playing well. Especially considering a lot of what his weaknesses is kind of what we saw anyways. I mean, we knew his handle was going to be kind of limited. We knew that was going to be a work in progress. We knew his finishing around the rim was going to be a work in progress. The shot did look a little flat to me, but like if there's one thing I'm not concerned with Jabari, it is his jump shot. Like that's, if there's one thing that the guy who shot was it, correct me if I'm wrong, it was 42%, right? From college?
Yeah, 42% on 5 attempts.
Yeah, so if it's one thing I'm not concerned with the 6'10", 6'11 shooter from college, it's shooting the basketball. Like it was a slump. We saw Jalen went through one last year, and you know, when he comes out of it, he's going to be knocking it down again. Maybe some pregame jitters, maybe some nervousness that he kind of have to work through as his season progresses. But like I'm not, if he was, you know, getting beat off the dribble, I would be a little bit more concerned if then opposed to his jump shot not falling. I'm not concerned about that at all. So the, you know, my first takeaway is like to my Rockets fans, like let's not overreact a little bit. Like this summer league, it is what it is. He didn't have that great of a performance, but he'll bounce back. I'm not concerned about him and his development at all. Tari Eason, in my opinion, and we talked about this in the first podcast discussing summer league, I think he takes away summer league MVP pretty easily. Matter of fact, I'm gonna pull a Brad Muse here. I'm gonna read off Tari Eason stats from the 5 games that he played. Here we go. He averaged 17.2 points per game, 10.4 rebounds per game, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but that was the most in summer league, right?
So, yeah, they still have a few games going today, but as a whole in this 5 games, he has a total of 52 rebounds, so average 10.4, as you said, which is first in the summer league right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to check. The Knicks just played. I don't know if Jericho Simmons, he had a chance to beat him out. I'll need to look at his stats real quick to see if he beat him out.
Okay. Yeah. We're recording this as the summer league is still going, but 10.4 rebounds per game, 1.8 steals per game, a block per game on 44.7 field goal percentage from the field and 33.3% from the 3-point line, which honestly is like the efficiency is more or less what I expected, but dang, I did not think he was going to come out there averaging, you know, 17 and 10 like that. So in my opinion, he easily takes home the cake of Rocket Summer League MVP. Like same with Jabari, like his energy and effort defensively from, you know, from game one has been crazy. Just the way he takes pride in playing defense and being that energy hustle guy, that's something that we haven't had outside of like Jay Sean Tate, maybe KJ Martin. And this guy is, you know, a legit 6'8", 7'2" wingspan. So, you know, it's going to be a really stuff to be excited about there. I mean, Brad, I know he's high on this clip, but I think it was the Trailblazers game where like he's almost like in the corner. They throw the Blazers throw the ball to the top of the wing, and he from the corner just full sprints and steals it. And like, dog, you, like that's crazy defensive instinct, defensive like awareness to even do something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like actually come away with a steal. So, in my opinion, he easily takes the cake as far as the summer league MVP for the Rockets. A lot to be excited for with him and his development going into next season. Ty Washington was the other rookie we drafted this year, and in my opinion, he you know, I want to see him get more of the point guard reps, and he was like an off ball, maybe sometimes on ball reps. So I want to see him get more on ball reps, and you know, maybe decide, does he need some more G League time? Is he ready to come in the actual rotation? Who knows? Whatever. But from what I did see from him, I did appreciate it. I'm talking about some of the other guards on this roster, but the one issue that I did not have with Ty at all during the summer league, I never felt like he was trying to do too much. I felt like he played 100% within the flow of the offense. He was never trying to, like, you know, be a little bit too selfish or, you know, insert himself, impose himself on the game. Like, he just took what the defense gave him and what was in the flow of the offense. And then, you know, he played hard on the other end of the ball as well. One thing that he did a lot that's, like, it completely stands out to me, and it's something really simple, but whenever Jabari had a mismatch, Ty made sure Jabari got the ball. And like something as simple as that is like huge, especially considering how bad the guard play was. So like just having that awareness to recognize there's a mismatch and get to the guy who has the mismatch, like to me that was huge. So I really was impressed with his game and just his effort as a whole. Like same thing with Tari and Jabari. He's another guy who he didn't take possessions off. He's playing, you know, both ends of the ball all game. And like I said, he didn't like – I never felt like he was forcing anything. I never was like, man, Ty pass the ball because you're doing too much. Like – if anything, I wanted to do more. So, you know, I was really happy with Ty. And that's kind of where I would end with like the net positives. As far as I wouldn't call this a negative, more of like it's kind of iffy, but Josh's summer league. I think Josh had a okay summer league. I think some Rockets fans are a little bit lower on Josh than they were pre-summer league. I don't think he had a bad one. I think he did what coach asked him to do. I think he went out there and tried to be a little bit ball dominant. I didn't want to see him, you know, be a little bit less ball dominant, but I get it. Like, to me, my opinion on Josh has not been impacted at all by summer league. It is what it is. I figured that, like, he was going to go out there and try to be James Harden. And like I said, I'm still going to give him that six man role very comfortably. I guess maybe Eric Gordon might have it. He's come off the bench, but you know, he'll be one of the first subs off my bench, very comfortably. And I'm still very excited and very high on Josh Christopher. And like the last guy I'll kind of touch on, is Dacian Nix. And unlike Josh, I am, very concerned about Dacian Nix. I've talked to some people actually today, and they were talking about they were 100% out on somebody, said they're 90%. I'm probably like 75% out on Dacian Nix. Just because, like, one, I think Ty is putting that pressure on him as far as, like, we have somebody who's looking like, in my opinion, Ty had a better summer league, and where he's looking like he can be already the better player, better situated to play with these guys. So there's that, you know, Ty's coming for his job. But then, two, it's like, man, he hasn't, like, I haven't seen a game from him both in summer league or in the regular season, you know, outside of the G League, where I was like, okay, like Dacian Nix is like the real deal. Like, I haven't seen that yet. He really disappointed me. And I was thinking about this the other day, but I was like, going into something, I'm thinking Dacian Nix is like a pass first, like a cerebral, trying to get everybody involved point guard. And that's not at all how he played in summer league. So I'm starting to question, is that even his game? Maybe he's less pass first and more score first. Because like I said, I've never seen a guard so determined to get to the rim, and he's not like to look off an open man to get to the rim. He's wasn't that great at finishing through contact. And when he did get fouled, he wouldn't convert at the free throw line, you know? And so there was so many times, like I said, where he would just make like some lazy passes, some lazy reads. He would, it seemed selfish to me. It seemed like he was trying to get his own bucket more than trying to help the team. And I think it did hurt the team as a whole, seeing him play that way. Yeah, man, I'm not so high on Dacian Nix anymore. I know that's might be the hot to the controversial take, but yeah, I'm not so high on him anymore. But other than that, I mean, I think that's kind of the general gist of how I'm feeling after summer league. What about you, Brett?
Yeah, I just want to start on that same note that you left out on. You know, Ty versus Dacian Nix. I rattle off both of the stats, and when you look at the stats, you'll say, "Oh wow, you know, Dacian had a better summer league." So I'll do it really quickly. So Dacian Nix, you know, starting from points through blocks, so 13.4 points per game, 3.6 rebounds, 4.4 assists, 1.4 steals, 0.6 blocks, shot 45.3% from the field, 45% from three. So you're looking like, okay, Dacian Nix played pretty solid. Then you look at Ty Washington, 9.4 points a game, 3.6 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 1.8 steals, which is tied for seventh in the summer league, and then only 0.4 blocks. And as a whole, shot 37.5% from the field, 30% from three. Now, again, looking at these stats that I just rattled off, you're going to say, oh, yeah, Dacian Nix had a better summer league. But in my opinion, I'm not going to speak for everybody here. For me, at least, the eye test showed me that Dacian Nix has kind of looked lost out there at times. I didn't like some of the passes he was throwing, ill-advised passes, you know, off recent memory, you know, just looking at the last game. First play of the game, threw a pass to the corner, got tipped out of bounds. Next play, he had Tari in the corner. Tari cut to get an open dunk, and Dacian threw it straight to the corner and threw his hands in the air like, what are we doing? You know, just little things like that. Decision-making is terrible. Since we have three games to talk about, let's talk about that fun time where Dacian Nix threw the ball off the glass and tried to dunk it like he was T-Mac. That was fun. Everyone enjoyed that.
Right? I forgot so, about that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just little things like that. It's like, Dacian, what are we doing out here, brother? Like,
and real quick. So I want to say two things about what you said, right? One, yeah, the off-the-glass play, that's kind of what I mean when I say, like, I'm questioning the decision making, because it's like, okay, maybe KPJ can do that. Maybe KPJ, Jalen, maybe even Josh. Like, these guys have ups, they're athletic. Dacian isn't the most athletic guy on the roster. So, like, I don't know why he thought trying to be T-Mac, throw it off the glass, catch it, and I don't know, lay it up. Like, that's not your game, bro.
It's not his game.
Not at all. There was so many different things you could have did with the ball in that scenario other than throw it off the backboard and then try to catch it. Like, that's kind of what I mean when I say I'm very concerned, because I just don't understand how we got to the point where that was, in his opinion, the best move to make. And then too, I'll say real quick before I pass it back off to you. I think what you just said right there, this is a question I had yesterday, but like what you said right there, when you listed off the stats, I think that's why it's important that you have to watch these games. Like you can't just look at the stats and say, oh, well, this guy had better stats, so he played better. Because I mean, I can speak for myself, but I'm gonna bet y'all would agree with me. I don't think Deshaun had a good summer league. I think it was game three. He looked really good in game three.
And I'll say this, he looked good in the second half of game two, extremely good. So yeah. The first six quarters was awful. The next six quarters was really good. And those last two games, it's like, Deshaun, what are we doing?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly that. I would say he looked okay in the OKC game. He looked pretty good in the Spurs game?
Yeah, he looked really good in the Spurs game. I'll give
Spurs game. He looked really good in the Spurs game. But that Orlando game and the last two, awful, right. Horrible. It was, in my opinion, it was not good at all. And so like, that's why I think you have to, like, I had this discussion with somebody the other day, and they were like, man, but you keep saying Knicks play bad, but look at his stats. And I'm like, if you watch the game, you would, you know what I'm saying? I don't think you would be saying that Deshaun Knicks played well. I think he played pretty bad. So, I would say I think it's important that when we have these discussions that, like, stats, numbers don't lie, but numbers without context can lie. And so I'll pass it off back off to Brad, the statistician.
Yeah, so. Looking at that Ty and Deshaun battle, I think Ty just looked a lot more comfortable out there. You know, even though Deshaun has an extra year of experience in the G League, I just think Ty looks like a more natural point. You know, he made his fair share of mistakes. I'm not just coming from a biased perspective, like, oh, we just drafted this guy in the first round. I just want him to play over Deshaun. Ty definitely had his fair share of mistakes. Some players, we were like, all right, Ty, what was that? But, you know, as a whole, I feel like he fits better in with this young core. You look at the three-point percentages, and you're like, oh, yeah, Deshaun shot way better. But Ty, he has a really fluid shot, very quick, really good three ball. I feel like he's just a better floor commander. You know what I'm saying? Floor general is a better term. So I like Ty Washington, man. The defense looked really good, 6'9 wingspan. He had a game with four steals, another game with three, averaged 1.8 steals in the summer league, again, seventh in the entire summer league. So he's a good defender. That's something the Rockets have needed. So I'm hoping Ty gets those back in minutes. I don't expect him to get them from day one. He's going to have to earn those minutes in the preseason to win that battle going into the regular season. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. And Big E, I'll ask you about that battle when I finish my thoughts. But, you know, going on to a few other thoughts, you know, as Will said, Tari Eason, Summer League MVP by far for the Houston Rockets. Shouldn't even be a debate. Shouldn't be a question. I'm pretty sure they give out first team all Summer League. Stamp in Tari Eason on that first team all Summer League, please, because as a 6'8 guy, he has to make it. And the last thing anyone expected was for Tari Eason to come out here and drop 17 and 10 over a five-game sample. That's absolutely insane, right? You know, Tari Eason, he was making some crazy plays. Will took the play, I was going to say. You know, they had a double team at the top of the key. The point guard kicks it. Tari came shooting out the corner and got the steal out of nowhere. There's a bunch of plays like that he makes, and it's going to really benefit the Rockets. And I feel like we talked about it on the last pod. I don't know if we did or not, but the Rockets have a log jam right now at the wing position. You can envision, okay, let's say Eric Gordon starts. You obviously got Jabari starting. Let's say Jayshon Tate starts. You obviously got Jabari still starting. So in the backup, you got either Gordon or Tate and then KJ Martin as of right now. So you're probably thinking, where is Tari Eason going to play? Are they not going to play him? Are they going to send him to the G League? As of right now, it's Usman Garuba. But Tari Eason played a lot of small ball five in this summer league, and I'd like to see him play those small ball 5 minutes just because of how good he looked recently. I know we saw Jabari play a lot of five, and I'll touch on Jabari playing five because he looked incredible. But I feel like Tari Eason, that's a guy who just needs minutes. He has a knack of finding himself in the right position to get a bucket. Again, 17 points. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, give him the ball and go get a bucket. Those 17 points, he puts himself in the right position to score. He earned those buckets. That's the kind of guy that you want. And he kind of does the same thing on the defensive end. You know, he just finds himself in the right spot, you know, enables himself to make a play on the ball or anywhere on the court. So he's just a plus player, point blank period. 17th pick, A-plus draft pick by Rafael Stone. So loving every second of Tari Eason right now. So, of course, we got to talk about the number 3 pick in the draft, Jabari Smith. He didn't shoot the best, of course. Sub 28% from three. Definitely took a lot of attempts. But, you know, at the end of the day, as Will said, Trae Young, and they played two different games, but Trae Young had a terrible shooting performance in the summer league, you know, as did, you know, Jabari Smith. But I'm not going to sit here and be concerned about a summer league performance on a five-game sample. I just saw what that brother did in college. He shot 57.1% on uncontested catch-and-shoot threes, 42% as a whole, 37.2% when he was contested. Right, that's a full sample of a college season. They moved the three-point line back in college. So we all know Jabari Smith Jr. can shoot the ball. Did his shot look flat? Yes, it did. Should I be concerned? No, because the Rockets have John Lucas and a bunch of other coaches who can work on those little things with him. He's already a good shooter. You can go to YouTube and look up a overtime documentary, Jabari Smith. You know, he's good at a lot of things, but the one thing he always works on is his shooting, even though that's what he's the best at. He's always going to work on his shooting. That's the number one thing he goes in the gym for. So I'm not concerned about his shooting after five summer league games. Again, we all hope that it looked like it was going in, but it wasn't going in. It's all good. At the end of the day, it's just summer league. Trae Young had a best summer league. He's one of the best shooters in the NBA right now. And even if the shot's not falling, he's an elite defender, as we all saw. And that last game had one of the craziest blocks I've ever seen. Probably in a while. You know, weak side, snatch block. The Kings bench all jumped up thinking they had a poster about to happen, and then they all sat down like, oh, snap. Like, he just blocked that. You know, Jabari, he's like that on defense, you know, playing small ball five on the perimeter. There was one play in the last game. They switched onto Jabari, and Inacho said, man, why would you switch onto Jabari? You know, why would you call for a screen and get Jabari on the ball? The other Inacho said, I'm not sure. And then Jabari got a steal like 2 seconds after that, you know, little things like that. And, like, he's clamps, like. It's so important that the Rockets brought in two guys like Jabari and Tari onto the team. Like, I'm just so excited to see them on the main roster and seeing how they fit next to, you know, KPJ, Jalen, and Shangoon. Like, that's going to be so fun to watch. We got 3 months. Sucks. But I really can't wait to see that. But Big E, you know, I want to ask you, what do you think about the Dayshin and Ty battle? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Who do you think is winning right now?
And when you answer, I'm just curious. Before you take it, I'm just curious the numbers. Like, I was getting people to give me, like, their percentage on if how much they're out. So like I said, I heard 100, somebody told me 90. I said 75. I'm just curious, what number are you at right now? And then you can answer the question.
I'd say I'm on like 60%, just because I'm probably about to play devil's advocate here. But I watched a lot of Knicks last season, and he was like this fast first point guard that we thought he would be coming into the summer league. So like today, I was just randomly thinking that maybe they just told him, like, okay, we know you can pass. We know you're a pass-first guy, so go out there and just get reps scoring. We just want you to go out there and just get the bucket, ignore the open guy, just show us what you can do scoring-wise, because it would be easier to decide between you and Ty or something like that. Because, like, I know what he can do. I saw what he can do with the Vipers, him and Garuba, before Garuba got injured. They had a nice little duo. But then the part comes in where I also really like Ty, so, like, I'm not sure who to choose here. It's like that meme with the two buttons and the guy is just sweating, doesn't know which one to press. It's Dayshin, Knicks, and Ty. I'm just like looking at the buttons. So for me, like, I love the fact that there's competition for the point guard spot, because I think with competition, they're both going to become better either way. It's like, oh, okay, this guy might take my spot. If I'm not doing good in practice and he's doing better than me, then I'm going to lose some minutes. I got to be in the gym every day on time. I have to show up early, you know, I have to do what I have to do. So the competition between them is just going to make both of them better. And then eventually when you have to decide, because there's going to be a lot of decisions coming up in the next couple of years. So eventually when you have to decide, it's just going to be like, okay, how did he do and how did he do? And then just compare them. I feel like sending Ty to the G League would be a waste, kind of, because I feel like in the G League, Ty could just dominate pretty easily, unless he gets like the J-Gub treatment where he just went down for 6-7 games and then came back up to the bench. So I wouldn't mind that. But like, if you send him down for the season, you're just wasting a lot of what he can do, especially with this team. And yeah, I just want to add one thing about Tari Eason. It wasn't in the last three games. It was actually in the first game. His first bucket as a Rocket was that monster dunk. And like, as soon as he did that, I just looked and I was like, yeah, we're gonna fall in love with this guy immediately. This guy is gonna be the next big thing. I still don't know how we fell down to 17. I remember pre-draft, we were in spaces and we're like, yeah, we're not gonna get Tari at 17. He's going lottery, he's going 12. I was reading an article, a Blazers fan yesterday, and he said he has an 8th on his board. So I was just like looking, how? Like, how did he fall down to 17? It's crazy that we actually got this lucky with this pick. feel like that was a no-brainer pick for Rafael. As soon as he saw Tari Eason was there, he just made the call. He's like, bring me Tari Eason right now. So, yeah, it's great to have him on the team as well.
Yeah, you know, why did he fall that far? The only thing that we have to our knowledge, people were saying, oh, you know, he doesn't have a basketball IQ. He was slow in the interview process. Pretty much they were calling him a bonehead, right? But
I forgot who he was working at. It might have been the Blazers he was working out with. And I remember, like, they were showing videos, and they were like, his jump shot really wasn't the best. And so I think that's kind of what played a role in it as well.
And it's still not. I mean, we knew that from jump, even though he shot 36% last season on 2.5 attempts, 2.3 attempts, we knew. You know, he had an upward shooting year from his previous year at Cincinnati where he shot 24%. But you still know, just watching his game, watching the film, he still needs to improve that jumper. And it's no surprise if he's coming out there and you know, pre-draft workouts, and he's not hitting at a high clip. You know, that's not why you draft Tari Eason. You know, we just saw 5 summer league games of Tari Eason and why he deserved to be a high lottery draft pick. You know, he's everywhere on the defense, you know, the defensive side of the ball, even on the offensive side of the ball. Again, he has a knack for finding the right places to be on the court to, you know, get a bucket. It's still crazy to me that he averaged 17 points a game. It's just like, he's not a guy that's going to go out there and get a bucket. Like, this is not his game. But he's putting himself in position to score. Kind of guys, of course, that any basketball team needs, and obviously the Houston Rockets. So, loving Tari. I'm happy that whoever put out that smokescreen about his IQ did that, because he was mocked to come to Houston from day one, and they messed around and still got him. And that's just a great pick, you know,
He's a machine as well. Yeah, he's a machine as well. Like, he's playing the Pro-Am, like, that's coming up right now, the crossover Pro-Am. So he's like, he just finished the summer league, probably got on the jet and just went straight to Seattle. Just, he wants to play more, you know. There's nothing wrong with just getting in more reps. So I feel like that intensity and that determination would carry on towards, like, the whole team. You're going to see Sengun or Garuba maybe just seeing Tari working out this hard. Be like, okay, hold up. If I want to stay here, if I want to win, I got to be up to the standard, because Tari could just set the standard. He could be the leader in the locker room if we need to, because the leader doesn't always have to be the best player. Can just be someone that's vocal. He's very vocal on defense. He's always talking with the coaches during the game. He's like, okay, what did I do wrong here? What did we do wrong here? Just mid-game, mid-play. So, yeah, I feel like he could definitely just be the leader that this team needs.
You know, and there's no way to prove this or, like, quantify it, but every year there's one guy in the draft who goes lower or whatever. And, like, you look back, like, 5 years or you're like, how did this guy, like, how did he go that low, right? Yeah. And there's always one guy, you know, saying probably maybe one, maybe two guys who, like, in a redraft go, like, top five. And they did not go top five in the draft. I'm going to go on record now and say that's going to be Tari Eason. I'm going to go now and say it, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a Rockets fan, because I didn't say this last year. I didn't say this, you know, for the guys who drafted last year. I'm not projecting Ty is going to match become like a top 10 pick. I see a lot of potential in Tari Eason. I see a lot of, I mean, for lack of a better word, just like Bradley sees the him factor, that it factor, like something.
I'm not co-signing that him factor.
I think Tari is going to figure it out. I think something's going to happen. He's going to figure it out. When you look at his size, the tangible, what his skill is, and just how raw he is, and how much he can just add to his game and just continue to get better, it's not going to surprise me if he's one of those guys, if not the guy, who we look back 5-7 years from now and he's like, yeah, like, this guy should have went way higher. And, like, you know, he might maybe have a claim for the best player in the draft. Like, who knows? This could be like an all-time bad take that I'm spitting off here, but I'm gonna go on record now and shoot my shot on that. I think Tari could be that guy who we look back on a couple of years from now and be like, yeah, like, this guy is arguably the best player in this class. Like, it can be that crazy.
Best player in the class. I was gonna say you were a liar because you said you didn't say it last year, and of course we picked Sengun at 16. I thought you were referring to like top 10 guys, but
yeah,
best player in the class.
I think Sengun would go obviously a lot higher. I don't think he would go higher than maybe 7, 8.
Yeah, and even then, that's an impressive jump.
You know? Yeah. So and so by the way, like I'm not hating on Shingo. Like that's great. Oh, of course. What I was saying is I could see Tari Eason not just going top. I think he could go like in a redraft. We're talking about like I said, this could be the guy of that draft. You know what I'm saying? Like it would not shock me if 5-7 years from now. And like I said, I know it's like a long shot, complete hot take, but yeah, nah, it wouldn't shock me if he's. And I'm not saying he's going to be this guy. So that's not what I'm trying to say, right? But like, I think Giannis was pick 15, right? 15. Correct. I think Kawhi was as well. Correct. Jimmy Butler was like pick 30. You know, so like guys like that who, yeah, they didn't go that high. But when you look back, like Kawhi and Giannis probably go number one in their respective drafts. And then Jimmy Butler was in that Kawhi draft. So I think he probably goes anywhere from 2 to maybe 4. So, you know, basically I'm trying to say is it wouldn't shock me if Tari Eason has that type of like development and growth where we look back 5-10 years from now, we're like, yeah, like if we were to do that draft again, he's going like significantly higher than pick 17. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, pivot really quickly to Jabari. You know, I was just looking at some stats, you know, off the top of my head. You know, we're talking about Tara, you know, he led the summer league in rebounds as of right now, you know, 52 total rebounds, average 10.4. No one really talks about, you know, Jabari. You know, he averaged 9.4 rebounds, total of 47, and that's third right now in the summer league. I'll probably tweet that out after this podcast. I just found it out. But that's really impressive, right? You know, he played a lot of small ball center. Of course, you look at the Rockets, you'll probably say, oh, you know, the Rockets didn't really have a center out there. That's not that impressive. But again, these guys are playing small ball. They're playing, up a position. It's impressive to go out there and battle with bigger guys and get rebounds. You know, the Rockets just got two forwards that can rebound at will. That's going to help Shengun so much. That's going to help the entire team so much. You know what I'm saying? Like Jabari, he's going to play a lot of small ball five this year. He can do it. I'm excited for him to do so. You know, Silas said he's going to play him there in some spot minutes. And if that jump shot is falling, it's going to be a mismatch problem. But defense, I'm just really excited to see Jabari out there, you know, fighting for rebounds and doing what he does best. And, you know, last stat I'll rattle off, I probably said on the last podcast, but, you know, Jabari Smith had the 9th best box out percentage in college basketball last season. I saw that stat on Twitter. I don't know how you get a statistic like that, but it's a fact, you know, 9th best in college. So really impressive. And it showed when you watched him in the summer league. So Jabari Smith, that's a guy that's going to go out there and get a board. Same thing with Tari, of course. And that's only going to help this main roster in the long haul. But Big E, I want to ask you, I touched on it earlier, you know, Tari Eason again, there's a log jam right now at the wing position. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we want to see Usman Garuba. We don't want to waste a first-round draft pick. I feel like if he doesn't play this year, I can't see him playing any future years because that's when the Rockets are going to start winning games, right? So depending on the training camp battle, if it's looking like Tari Eason's not going to be able to play at the wing, how are you feeling about that Tari Eason-Usman Garuba battle at backup five?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know and everyone just knows how biased I am towards Garuba. But what sucks about OKC having our pick next year is that we don't really have time for guys to just sit in and develop and stick for like 4 or 5 years before they show off what they have. So I do feel like just due to not having time and maybe Garuba doesn't like just stays injury prone, I feel like he's gone sooner than we think. But if he comes out next season fit, athletic as well, just the way he looked with Real Madrid is pretty much the way Tari Eason looks right now is the way Garuba looked before we drafted him in Real Madrid. So I feel like if he comes back to that, we could see like, you know, Tari at the 4, Garuba at the 5, and just you're locking it down. There's no one coming through to the paint pretty much. Maybe you can even throw Jabari at the 3. And even then with like Tari and Garuba playing, it could be like a big, big problem on defense for a lot of teams pretty much. Because those guys can guard 1 to 5, in my opinion. Or at least Tari can. You know, Garuba, I don't know what happened to him. That a lot of injuries and just being sidelined, maybe being away from home as well, took a toll on him. So I don't know what's going on. Because I was a really big Garuba believer before this season. So I don't know what happened. I feel like if we had him in the summer league, we would have been playing in the championship game, not the Knicks or the Trailblazers. Would have been us versus someone else. But, you know, end of the day, injuries happen. You go look back, there's a lot of players that could have panned out and just got injured. It would suck to see that happen to Garuba, but, you know, it's stuff that happens in the NBA. And his brother is coming up soon, so there's something to look out for. Maybe Yeah, maybe Usman doesn't work out, so you just go get his brother, Sadiq Garuba. He's playing for Spain under 18 right now, so still got 2, 3 years to go, but there's still a lot of talent coming up as well.
Now, really quick, is he a similar kind of player, or how is this game?
Yeah, I don't know, like he's shorter, so he runs more with the ball, he can shoot better, but also he's still like 17, 16, so his game isn't really set yet because all of a sudden he can grow 4 or 5 inches and just become a center out of nowhere. So at that age, I don't really like judge them very well yet.
I hear you. Appreciate that insight. Will, what are your thoughts on that little
Okay, so
battle?
I got a couple of things I want to say here.
Go ahead.
One, I'm with Biggie. I think that if Garuba cannot show us that he deserves rotation minutes next season, it's not going to get any easier for him because we are in a unique scenario where he can't afford to be the worst team in the NBA after next season because we don't own our pick no more. So we're probably going to start making some win now trade signings decisions, which may result in Garuba being traded. If not being traded, it might result in us signing somebody who takes his job, So I think that this season is going to be super duper important for him to show the organization why he deserves to be a part of the rotation moving forward. And I'm hopeful that he will. I'm kind of with Biggie. I was somebody who was kind of fighting for his right to play the backup five early this year. So I'm still hopeful, and I really do want him to get that that respect and honored to be the backup five next season. I think that's that. Same thing I want to bring up is just kind of a quick tangent. And then I want to ask Biggie a question. So I asked both of y'all this question, actually. But one thing that I saw today on Twitter that I kind of want to talk about in the podcast, we'll probably talk about this in some spaces later on. But I want to also drive home. We talked about, not overreacting to Jabari's performance. Also want to drive home that, you don't have to, as fans, I'm not talking y'all, so just, fans in general, but, you don't have to belittle the other prospects to raise up Jabari. You know what I'm saying? You can appreciate really like Paolo and Chet, you can appreciate their greatness and how good of players they are. And that's not you being disrespectful to Jabbar. It's not you preferring one of that. I can just appreciate greatness. And so I saw people try to say things like, oh, well, Ben Carroll can't do this and he can't do that, so Jabari's better. And it's like, come on, man. It's just we don't gotta say that Ben Carroll is trash to say that Jabari is good. We can just say that they're all good in their own unique rights. They all have issues. They all have strengths. And who knows? You know what I'm saying? 5 years from now, we might look back and say Shaedon Sharpe is the best player in the draft. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's, I don't know. I think that discourse kind of silly. I tweeted it out today. We gotta get rid of the I have to dump on this prospect to raise my prospect. And we have to get out of the mentality that you can't praise somebody who doesn't play for your team. So I want to share that on here. And then the last thing I want to ask you guys is, are there any players, not to play for the Rockets, just any summer league game, who surprised you or you were really happy to see? And I'll go first. My answer was, I mean, Brad knows I'm a huge Quinn Grimes fan. U of H legend. So he's been looking really good. I know the Knicks lost today, but I have his stats pulled up from the 5 games he played. He averaged 22.6 points on 41.4 field goal percentage, 30.9% from three. It's not the greatest, but he put up 4.2 rebounds and four assists. I'm sorry, lost my train of thought. 1.2 steals, and yeah, I mean, to me, I'm really happy to see that Quinn Grimes is. Got the opportunity to show what he's capable of. He's allegedly on that trading block for Donovan Mitchell. And so if that's the case, I don't know how we find a role for him, but I don't want a Rockets, he was not a Rockets, a Houston legend in the city of Utah. So I wouldn't be too mad if we tried to find a way to bring him to the city. I'm not sure how he fit in here, but yeah, that's a guy who I was really big on in last year's draft, for pretty obvious reasons. So I was happy to see him get the opportunity to shine this year. So I don't know. Is there anybody like that who, kind of stood out to you guys? May not have to play. It could be somebody who plays for our team. May not be somebody who plays for our team. Just anybody in summer league. I'll let Biggie go first since he's the guest.
All right. So I'm going to give two players. One player that completely surprised me and was on our team because I have to push just some agenda is Eric Holman. I mean, I would give him that G League spot if we have one because he showed what he can do. He can shoot. He's kind of like big as well. He has a similar body to Chet, pretty much. Doesn't play like Chet before like any OKC fans say I'm comparing them to. I'm just saying their bodies are similar. So yeah, that's someone that really surprised me. And then pre-draft, I was talking about Jaden Hardy. I just couldn't believe that he would actually fall to round two, and he did. So while he wasn't really that good to end the summer league, and the Mavericks, I'm pretty sure, finished 0-5. They didn't win a game. But you know, his first game was very well, very, very good. He plays very well. It's just someone that really surprised me that still fell low. And yeah, he played very well in the first game, pretty much. Then he had just an average summer league. But he was pretty fun to watch.
I'll say my one guy, and I'm a big defensive guy. You know, I watched a few Knicks games, and there's a guy named Faron Hunt, 6'8" forward, played for SMU. He was going insane on defense. Averaged 2.4 steals, which is second in the summer league for all players that play five games. There's one game he came out there with seven steals. You know, so I don't even know if he'll mess around and make the roster, but he was impressive out there. So I want to give him his props. So that's the one player, in my opinion. You know, I would personally give a shout out to, but yeah, fun summer league as a whole. You know, looking at the Rockets again, I'm just excited to see like how training camp battles go, how everything's looking. You know, 2 3 months in advance. You know, are we still gonna have EG? You know, KJ Martin. You know, all those factors. You know, how we're gonna be looking at the roster construction. And Will, you know, I want to talk about this maybe on the next pod. You know, we have a long off season. You know, what the Rockets could potentially do with the rotation. We were on Twitter. And we were having a hard time coming up with a good rotation, man. It was tough. So I feel like that's something we could probably talk about in a future pod. But I have nothing else for this pod to add. Will, do you have anything else to say?
No, I'll say we'll get pass it off to the guest, see if he has anything else, and if not, we can start kind of closing.
Yeah, Big E, before you
Yeah,
go,
I'm just gonna
man, I want to thank
say.
you. I want to thank you really quickly for coming on the podcast late notice, but we love interacting with you on Twitter. You know, always a great time. So it's a pleasure to get you on. But go ahead and plug your socials so everyone can find you.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much for now, the only thing I'm on is Biggie underscore Houston on Twitter. Nothing like major has been happening. I've been busy with university and college, so just chilling, posting stats, posting any agenda I can find. And yeah, my just want to say one thing before we end is I'm pretty sure Eric Gordon is going to get traded to the Sixers. I feel like it's
I
just
hope
something
it's so
that's going to
happy.
happen. I know Morey. Yeah, I know Morey. We all know Daryl Morey. So if he wants his guy, he's going to get his guy, whatever it takes. We can probably call them up and just ask for something ridiculous. And he'd probably like try to maybe just match that pretty much because Eric Gordon is one of his guys. He brought him to Houston, gave him 20 million per year. So yeah, I think Gordon's gone to the Sixers.
Hey, you know, as a Rockets fan, you know, Eric Gordon's a really good shooter. Everyone wants to see him go. I do think he would look good in the starting lineup, but I would not be mad if he was gone. Opens up some more wing depth, you know, for some of the younger guys like Tari Eason. You know what I'm saying? So, not mad if he's here. Definitely not mad if he's gone. So, I definitely agree. But as always, I am your host, Brad. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BradoNBA. The social, Brad and Will, you can find them on Instagram and Twitter at that same at handle. And Will and I really appreciate you guys for hanging around this long. If you're still here, make sure to like and subscribe. It helps us a lot. And without further ado, I'll pass it off to my co-host, Will.
Yeah. And like you, Bryce said, I mean, we really appreciate it. You know, all the love you guys have been showing us lately, all the likes, the comments, the subscribes, all that good stuff. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, at Bias Houston. Shout out Clutch City Control Room. And as always, Biggie, it's always a pleasure talking to you. It's always great. Like Bryce said, I know it was like super duper late notice. But you know, we're always talking to you every day anyway. So we really appreciate you taking the time out today to come talk with us. And you're always welcome to come back. So,
Definitely.
you know, go ahead and plug
All
yourself.
right.
Make sure
Thanks
everybody
for
can
having
figure
me
out where they
on,
can
man.
find you. Yeah.
He already did, man. You got bad memory.
Oh,
Yeah,
I'm
but
tripping. Yeah,
it's
you
not
showed
bad.
Hey,
We'll just
Big,
talk
you
about
showed
it.
it. Go ahead and do it again, man. Go ahead.
It's Biggie underscore Houston on Twitter. Stats,
And don't forget
propaganda, agenda.
There you go. Make sure you got it. Let them know twice so they'll know for next time. But again,
Yeah.
Biggie, we appreciate you for coming on. Everybody, as always, we'll be back next Monday with another episode. We'll find something to talk about. Long off season, but make sure to stay tuned. It's going to be an enjoyable watch. So we'll see you then.